play. Look at this. Look at this.
All right, we are back here for edition or episode, whatever you want to call it, of the Surrender Birdies podcast. And I've got a gentleman joining me today who is, he's been on the Beltway Golfer podcast before with his larger crew, his outfit, Golf DMV. But Mr. Claude Jennings is here joining Surrender Birdies himself today. Claude, how's it going, man?
Alex, it's great, man. Number one, thank you so much for inviting me on Surrender Birdies podcast. I've been listening since the first episode. I'm glad to be in the top 10, you know, of guests, like at least in the top 10 as far as episodes with that. And always had a great time listening to and being on Beltway Golfer. Enjoyed when you were on with Golf DMV as well. Enjoyed the round you and I played at Laytonville, I believe, with Adam of Mediocre Golf Podcast, who was your most recent guest.
That's right.
No, it's a pleasure to be on. But you have to explain two things to me. Number one, what is a birdie and how do I get those when I'm on the golf course? Explain what birdies even have to do with golf, because my golf game has I don't even know what a birdie is.
You and me both, man. I mean, my golf game is going in the wrong direction. So birdies for me are fewer and far between. if I get one birdie around at this point, I am thrilled.
There you go.
But the days of me getting anything, you know, much more than that. I mean, anyway, how's everything? So first of all, Golf DMV, I appreciate you listening to Beltway Golfer. I've been listening to your podcast, Golf DMV, for quite a long time. I mean, how many episodes are you guys at now?
Oh, man. I don't know the exact number, but we are north of 300. I think we're somewhere around like 350. A lot of it was birthed out of like radio work that I do. And so I was kind of used to the cadence and things like that. And so, yeah, man, once a week we get on and we record. And yeah, we're north of 300, maybe 340. Yeah.
That's crazy, man. I mean, there can't be that many golf. I mean, there's just an insane amount of golf podcasts. I mean, I don't know what the number is, but it's well over 200 or 300.
Oh, for sure.
Just in the United States. There can't be that many that have already hit 300 episodes.
Well, when you look at it, there are over 4 million podcasts, not just golf, but podcasts worldwide. And a small percentage of those podcasts even make it over 10 episodes. And so if you're doing it and you're over 10, because what happens is that people see podcasts like Beltway Golfer or Surrender Birdies and they want to do it, and that's fine. But I'm not sure if there's an understanding as far as the commitment and what it actually takes to do it. It's not just sitting in front of a computer and opening a mic and talking. And then, well, there's editing, there's production value. I mean, there's things you've got to add to it. And it's a grind. It's a grind. And I mean, I wish every day were like, you know, we're in the DMV here on June 10th and there's blue skies and sunshine outside. I wish that every day was like that in podcast land, but it's not. Sure. But you have to be committed to whatever it is you're doing. And saying, you know, whether it's, you know, we feel like doing it, we don't feel like doing it, whether everybody can be present. Because, you know, I have a crew with me, Vernon and Lawrence. And, you know, sometimes we got to reschedule and sometimes it upsets people like Lawrence. He's the only one who gets upset when we got to reschedule. But anyway, but yeah, I mean, but you got to be committed to it and pushing and pushing. And, as you know, I mean, you've done tons of podcasts. And as you know, it's work and you got to do it. But it's fun that we do it about that. We talk about golf. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the fact that you're doing something that you're passionate about, because all these things, it's not just the work of, you know, like you guys churn it out every single week, and you've got to coordinate with the rest of your hosts and everything like that, and put the production value behind it, which you have experience doing. But you got to stay passionate about it, and you have to try to grow your audience, which is a whole kind of thing in itself. But the length of time that you guys have been doing that is just crazy impressive. And so Lawrence LB from the Golf DMV podcast, he's retired now, right? So he's got all the time in the world.
Lawrence is retired and he's been traveling, man. He's been playing golf, he's been traveling, and so now he sends these cryptic text messages like, anybody want to play golf tomorrow at 10:30 a.m.? I know you guys have a 9 to 5, but can anybody, you know, break free? And it's like, Lawrence, you know that's not going to go. But he does that. But he's been traveling, man. He's been enjoying life. You know, he's had a tough stretch the last year and a half, and so I'm happy for him that he's able to get out here and live life and enjoy retirement. You know, he wants for nothing. He's a man that's well made. I'll put it that way. And he's doing his thing. He's enjoying it.
That's great. We got a guy in our regular golf foursome who's a little bit older. He's not retired, but he's got one of these kind of, you know, government contracting jobs where he might be home on the couch by 10:30 in the morning.
Sure.
And he's texting, you know, morning of, who wants to play golf at noon? And we're like, okay.
But you know what? Speaking of a podcast, like, I know for you, Alex, you've upped what you've been doing on the golf media front. And within the last 2 years, I want to say two or maybe even 3 years, I imagine what people may assume is, as much as you cover with golf and provide great content for people here in the DMV and beyond, that you get to play a lot. I bet that the more you started doing this, the less you're available to play. Is that been the case?
1,000%. I mean, and it's partly due to my own shortcomings in time management. I mean, I'll be honest.
Sure.
You know, I feel like the to-do list, you know, it never goes away. And there's just, you know, especially when it comes to like marketing my thing. Like, I just put out a podcast yesterday with Brian Kim, who won the 2023 U.S. Junior AM. He's playing in the U.S. Open at Pinehurst this week. And mm-hmm. You do the podcast, but then I put out one little thing on Instagram stories telling people about it. But then you're kind of ready to move on the next thing, but you're like, well, I got to tell people about it on Twitter, and I got to do this mm-hmm. on Facebook. And I got to mm-hmm. do that. And it's like, there's always kind of stuff to do and then move on to the next thing that, you know, as much as I try to get out at least once a week, I fall well short of that, right. Along with all the other crap you got going on in life.
No, right, right. And I mean, I don't want to turn this into an interview with you, but I agree with Adam, man. Like, last week he said he wanted to talk a lot. I mean, the last episode, he wanted to talk to you a lot about, you know, your golf and things like that. And we'll get into, you know, like my stuff, sure. with however fascinating that may not be to people. But like, I mean, you've been in this area because I don't think that you talk a lot about your experience as the, and as the host, why would you, right? You want to bring other people in and stuff like that. You're not a sure. self-consumed individual. And so, of course, you wouldn't sit around and just talk about me all day. But, I mean, you've been in this area for all of your life, right?
During my 20s, I moved around quite a bit. I was in other California, Chicago, Florida.
Right.
But, you know, I grew up here. I lived here for the first, you know, 22 years of my life, and then moved back here when I was 30. So, aside from 8 years, I've lived here my whole life.
And golf has been a part of your life ever since you were young, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, you know, I fell in love with golf fairly young, you know, middle school, maybe a little bit early. I played some in high school, but basketball was my main game, and I committed to that. Like so many folks that, you know, maybe were quasi athletes. Now, I saw an internet meme the other day where this guy's I think he plays a video of his. He's looking through a window of his bedroom window to his younger self.
Oh yeah. Wishing he was him. Don't play basketball. Play golf. Do not play.
Right. I've had that. I mean, that speaks to me. You know what I mean? I moved away from golf and committed to basketball. You know, I've got some hype, but I'm a white dude that can't jump and is not very physical. You know,
yeah. Well, there was a movie about that. You know, you could have started the movie or the remake. You know,
we should have called out to your agent. My basketball career sputtered as a late teenager, and I wish I had kept up golf. So I came back to golf in my 20s, but now I'm much like you, hooked.
Yeah, love it. That's it. Right. Hooked to the game. I mean, for me, and I'd love to get to some of the courses we like to play here in the area, but, you know, or whatever else it is you want to talk about. For me, golf wasn't even on the radar at all until after high school. So my father had passed away when I was 12. And as a teenager, there was a group of guys at a church that my mom went to. And then, you know, I would come and stuff like that. And who kind of took me under their wing and me and a couple other young guys. And once the Tiger boom hit, they started playing.
Right.
And so, you know, when we would go out to different, like, whether it's a, you know, back then it was the Bullets and Wizards, so a basketball game or go bowling or hang out, they're like, hey, we're playing golf. you guys need to come out. And we're like, all right, well, that sounds like something fun to try. Sure, we'll, you know, whatever. Right. And so I started playing then. I'm one of the only guys who still play from that, you know, little group. But, like, I stopped in my mid-20s to early 30s. And then for whatever reason, I was introduced to a couple other guys. And Lawrence was in this group. And they all played golf. And yeah. So I was like, all right, well, I might as well pick this thing back up. I think I still know what I'm doing. And I had these super old clubs. But I'm a lefty. So as they were trying to introduce me into the game, no one had clubs that they could pass down to me. So I'm playing with, like, old thrift store clubs that they found for, like, $5. And, you know, they're super old and anything like that. But like you said, once I was reintroduced to the game in my late 20s, early 30s, it's everything has just been golf. Like, golf has just been... I mean, I laugh about it. I talk to my family, but it's the only thing that I do for fun. Like, if I'm around the family and we're doing something, this is not what I would like to do. I would like to be going. I would like to be playing golf.
Sure.
You know, I'm here because it means something to you for me to be here, not because I want to be. What do I want to do? I want to play golf. It's the only thing I want to do. It's the only thing I do for fun.
Golf's also one of those things. I mean, I think there's so many sports like this, but golf's one of them. It's kind of like skiing or surfing. A lot of other sports that if you do start young, it's a huge advantage. And it's hard to, if you really start taking the game seriously for the first time, like in your 20s or 30s, you know, to get really good is it's a long shot. Like, it's just hard. So, like, you gotta get those building blocks when you're really young. And so one of the things I want to ask you, one of the big things I want to talk to you about today was, because I have two sons, an 8-year-old and a 2-year-old. My 8-year-old, yes, he's into golf. I mean, baseball is his number one thing, but golf's a close second. And he's doing first tee right now. We go out and play the East Potomac Red Course. I played Pinecrest and Annandale the other day. You know, we'll go up and play Rock Creek. I don't think we've played Sligo Creek yet, but he's played five or six courses already. Mm-hmm. And he absolutely loves going out there. And so I've got two older nephews that live nearby that were kind of into golf, but not as much. And they've hit the age, which is around middle school, and where I'm getting to this, because I know, I don't even know how old your son Manny is, but I know he's mm-hmm. into golf and I want to ask him about it. But my nephews hit that age, like around middle school, where golf wasn't cool and their friends weren't playing golf. And so what happened was, you know, golf wasn't cool to them anymore and they stopped playing golf. And now golf, like, they look at, you know, their uncle Alex and they're just like, nah, I don't want to play. Not cool. You know, right. And I don't want that to happen to my son. Mm-hmm. And so where I'm getting at is, tell us about your son, Manny. How old is he? I see some, you post videos. I know he does PGA Junior League and some other stuff. Like, mm-hmm. how did you get him into golf? How did he stick with golf? And, you know, what have you done to help him fall in love with it?
Oh, yeah. So Manny's 11. Ever since he could stand up, I've had the little Mickey Mouse plastic golf, you know, sets in his hands, because, again, you know, I love it and I thought he would as well. And you know, I've just been blessed that he does like it, you know. And it's interesting, though, because, you know, I really feel like kids to a certain point will model their parents. And I honestly think that he plays it and likes it because I do. And, you know, when he wants to go outside and he wants to hang out with dad, that's what he does. Now, that was earlier on. Like, now he's fully into it. He's football is still his number one sport in heart, but talent wise, golf is the sport for him. Because, I mean, he wants to play football and football is everything. And he plays, you know, youth football right now, but, you know, he's better at golf. So anyway, we would have him come out to the driving range. I'd take him with me. We're putting and chipping and at the range, he's having a good time. And he just had this natural kind of swing. You know, kids at that age, you know, from the time he was like 4 or 5, had this natural flexibility that works good with golf. And so he was just like showing signs of like, okay, I think he's getting it. He's really, really good. And so we ended up putting him in the PGA Junior League for Prince George's County Parks and Rec. And he played at in Greenbelt at Paint Branch for 2 years, and then in Kentland, and this most recent year, University of Maryland. Had him in the Mid-Atlantic PGA Junior Tour. And his first season playing there, he won two tournaments. He won his first one and then backed it up by winning his second one. And I was trying to explain to him, like, that's not normal in golf. Like, that's not, you know. And so, but then he hit a growth spurt, Alex. And so to start this season, it was a lot of trying to finding out what clubs he need in the bag. And so he's got a mixed bag of some stuff he used last year, but then some adult clubs. And so he did fight through it, and he's ready for a summer season with the Mid-Atlantic PGA Junior Tour. And we'll see how that works out, but he loves it. And I'm telling you, I couldn't be happier, man, for him to want to come out and want to play nine holes with me or play 18 and with me and the fellas. Having him out there has been great. Cause again, with him being 11, like I said, my father passed away when I was 12. So there's a bunch of things that I didn't get to experience with my dad right around at his age, and also don't have a blueprint for it from a dad perspective, reaching down to an 11/12-year-old about these things. And so I'm just kind of trying to fill it out and figure it out and be the best dad that I can be. But I do have some good resources. Vernon, who's a co-host of Golf DMV, his dad, Coach B, we talk about him all the time on the show. You know, I reach out to him a lot and say, hey, you know, I'm noticing this with Manny. What do you think? You know, and he'll text me and, you know, talk me off the ledges and stuff like that. But I love it. I just love that he loves the game and he's pretty good at it. But like, you know, he's pretty good at it. We'll see what it leads to. We'll see what it leads to. But yeah, he's good.
Okay, give us I'm just kind of curious, and I'm sure other people that have kids might be as well. What was the timeline there? Like when you said you started him off at PGA Junior League, how old was he there? And when did he win those two tournaments? That was just this past year, or when was that?
Yeah, so he won the two tournaments. That was last summer because they have different divisions. They have mini mulligans, then intro boys, intro girls, and then they have Patriot boys, Patriot girls, and there's another division that's on top, I think championship boys, championship girls. And so he was in the mini mulligans, and so he started PGA Junior League, I want to say when he was like maybe eight. I think it was eight when he started it. And so, yeah, it was three years there. And the cool thing about it is that, you know, there are other kids there who know how to play, some who don't know how to play, just picking up for the first time. And they all kind of learn together and they learn the team game and they get to socialize. And I'm telling you, you know, local and they have these all over the place, but local municipal golf courses are such a gem to people in the golf community because you can come out. You know, it breaks down this golf can sometimes be an uptight sport. You know what I mean? Where, you know, those who have, you know, separate themselves from the have nots. And it's really, you know, but at your local muni, people are so welcoming and there's not that intimidation factor. And so we started at Paint Branch in Greenbelt, Maryland, which is where I started, by the way, playing the game. And, so right around eight, you know, seven. But I would encourage people, take your kids out to a short game area. Manny actually started hitting clubs for the first time at, do you remember Gunpowder? I mean, Gunpowder's still open right then in I guess that's Beltsville or Burgessville.
They got that little nine-hole course that little flat area like in front of the property.
Yeah, it's a little pitch and putt. And there's no hole that's over like 60 yards or something like that. And, you know, it almost reminds you of a mini golf course, but it's actual grass and you just, you know, pitch and putt your way around it. And that's literally where he started playing golf and he fell in love with it. But he liked being outside. He liked running. And one thing that I try to do is not like say, you got to close your grip. Oh, you're doing this. I don't want to overcoach anything. And I wanted to make sure that he wasn't around coaches that overcoached anything, even up till now. Because it's like, I still want it to be fun. I want him to love doing it. And I don't want it to become too robotic. We'll see what happens around 13 or 14. But right now, let's just have fun. And you're good. And you're going to compete against other kids and see what's up.
I tell you what. And I mean, there's this whole like kind of popularity and boom around short courses in golf. And a lot of that talk is around these fancy resorts that add a little short course. But having short courses at municipals, especially around this urban area. I mean, we've got a lot. I mean, like you just said, Paint Branch is a short course. You got the Needwood Executive.
Yes.
You got Sligo Creek, which is pretty short. You got two short courses at East Potomac. There's a few in Northern Virginia, like Jefferson District and Pinecrest, and there's a few around.
And if you want a little more work, you can go to the Inside Nine at Northwest.
There you go. We got a Henson Creek over in Henson, Beach County.
Henson,
that's another great. But these are great for kids. It's interesting. So my son James, he's in the first tee. He's done first tee for years, and first tee's great. I love the guys at first tee. It's a great program. But there's also this other Have you heard of this model, Operation 36?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. By the way, I need to go into Operation 36, by the way. Okay. I love their model. Go right ahead with it. I love their model. Their model is 100% the way you're supposed to teach golf.
I didn't know much about it. It just kept popping up on my feed, and I don't even remember why. But one day I bought the book on Amazon or their website or whatever, and it just kind of talks about their model. And the simplest way to put their model is just that, you know, kids want to be on the course, mm-hmm. and if you keep them away from actually playing the course and trying to get a score and competing, the likelihood of them falling out of love with the game and choosing a different sport is much higher. So 100%. Get them on the course trying to score a number as fast as possible. And so their model is, you know, you start 25 yards away from the green on a 9-hole course and you try to shoot 36. And once you shoot 36, you move back to 50 yards in every hole and then 75, yeah. then 100. Keep going back until you're playing from like whatever tees.
It's genius, isn't it? It's genius. Yeah.
Yes. And so I just a couple weeks ago, I applied that with my son because we play the red course East Potomac a lot. But I took him out on the blue one time. It was only because I had two buddies that were playing it. And I just said, okay, mm-hmm. come along. But he really wants to play the white course, which is a little bit longer. It's still relatively short. So I said, okay, well, you got to shoot 36 on the red first.
That's right.
I said, okay, why don't we try 25? We'll start from 25 yards away. And he really pushed back on that. He's like, no, I want to use the regular tees because we had already done it a couple of times. Mm-hmm. Anyways, he shot a 30. Last time we went out, he shot a 38. I said, okay.
Nice.
This could work. So you can't play the white course yet. We got to shoot 36 here. So that's where we're working towards that. But he loves it.
That's the way to do it. And I wish, it's funny because there are things when I first started that I wish I had known then that I know now. Like number one, I know when I first started, I was not playing from upfront tees. And I wish that I did because it makes the course a little less intimidating. And I can't hit far anyway. And if I do, it's going all over the place. But that's something that I didn't know when I first started that I wish I knew. I wish I took more lessons when I first started. And I wish I would have went to the range a lot more and just played a lot more when I first started. And so anytime that there's someone introduced to, like, you know, my normal golf group who's new, we tell them these things. No, we'll play up front with you. And I do that. I will play up front with anybody. If someone wants to play from the front tees because they're a beginner, I do that. Let's do it. And so those are some of the things. And I wish there was like an Operation 36. And I think they do some things for adults at certain locations, certain programs. But I'm like, put me in it. Start me. I don't know if I'm going to be starting at 25, but start me at 150 away. And I got to shoot 36, and then we'll move back. Other than that, that's where I'm playing from.
I do want to give your son Manny another shout out as a young author. I bought the book, it's on my son's shelf. It's okay
nice.
To be me.
Thank you.
Great book, and congratulations to him on being an author at age 11. That's crazy.
Yeah, well, he wanted to share his story about stuttering and how he still finds confidence to not stay silent, but talk, speak up, be a vocal leader in sports with his teams, and has his YouTube channel Manny Time and stuff like that. It's like, yeah, I stutter, but it's just who I am. And so I'm not going to. Cool. And it's funny because so I grew up with a stutter and so did my wife, Sierra. But it's something we didn't know about each other until we got married and noticed Manny stuttering because we both kind of worked
crazy.
Through it, I guess, or grew out of it. I don't know. So it was something that we found out that we both had in common that we didn't know before. And and so he's just like, hey, I want to, encourage kids. He goes to schools all the time to speak to classrooms. He just went to Cedar Tree Academy in Southeast DC not too long ago to speak to like 3 second grade classes about, just confidence and things like that. And
awesome.
Read his book and take pictures and stuff.
He gets around. Cause I remember last year, I remember texting you cause he was randomly at my son's elementary school in Arlington.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. And it's just so cool to see these kids when they see that there's another kid close to their age, he wrote a book, they think he's a star, which he loves. He loves taking pictures and sign autographs and stuff. It's like, hey, pipe down, Manny, pipe down. Yeah,
that's funny. So Paint Branch is still kind of your home course. It's his home course. I see you're rocking the Branch hat. They've been doing some updates up there. They've got their driving range is open at night now, right?
Yeah, shout out to Coach Elvy, who is up there now. And Coach Elvy is amazing, and they're doing a really good job. They got lights out there at the driving range, so the range is open at 9, until 9 p.m. I don't know if anybody's been up there lately or noticed, but the last, 2 or 3 years, they have a free kind of short game area. When you pull in, you'll see the driving range to the right. You'll see a short game area to the left. And this is one of the best short game areas in not just the county, but almost even in the state, to be honest, as far as my, I mean, lots of, from rough to fairway and the greens there, a couple flags, a wonderful short game area to work on chipping and to work on putting. Yeah, no, they've changed a lot. And interestingly enough, it's always in great condition. And they did some improvements with like drainage. We were just literally out there maybe 2 days ago, and they've got some improvements with like the drainage to make sure that it drains well when it rains. And so, yeah, I love Paint Branch. It's always got a place in my heart. And again, because it's a place that's not super intimidating for new golfers or for families who want to come out there and play. It's somewhere, you know, people will explain to you what's going on. Like, hey, you want to make sure you put the bucket under the machine before you hit the code, and right. just help people with what, you know, what's going on. And you'll meet people that you'll see time and time again there. And so, you know, we don't spend like every day there doing stuff, but anytime we want to get back to a place that's familiar and kind of want to sharpen in some short game stuff and just want to say hey to the people that we know, we'll go to Paint Branch and always have a good time and love it.
And they just added, some track that in that building on the left. They got some right. TrackMan studios, which
you
is
were
nice.
Just there, weren't you? Just you were just there about that. Not just there, but recently right?
over the winter, maybe right. or in the spring. I don't know. I was there February, yep. March. I just kind of swung by, and gosh, I'm so terrible with names. He's been running like the PG County Junior program for a while. Oh my!
Oh,
gosh.
William Martindale.
Martindale, yes, thank you. Yep. There you go. Yeah, yep. He gave me a little tour. Of what they were doing and showed me the new TrackMan setup. So Paint Branch, they're doing some things over there, which is great because, you know, 2 years ago, Paint Branch, it looked like Paint Branch wasn't long for this world as the county was trying to do like a land swap with the University of Maryland, and they were going to put right. their track and field center right there. Mm-hmm. And I attended, or maybe I watched after the fact, but they had a huge kind of community presentation to get feedback from the community to literally get rid of at least a good portion of the golf course. I can't remember all the details, but the driving range was going to become the University of Maryland track practice facility.
Wow.
And the county did this meeting, and they had this like this PowerPoint presentation where they were showing golf stats or golf data about the golf industry that from like the lowest point. And it just mm-hmm. wasn't accurate. And it was basically saying, nobody plays golf anymore. Golf's terrible, blah, 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 blah.
When it's been the exact opposite since,
and everyone was just like what
are you talking about?
Right. This was like 2022 when they did that. And everyone was just like, no. And they received so much pushback that that deal got canceled. I'm not sure where all that stands now with the track facility of University of Maryland. I think they found a totally new location. I think University of Maryland's golf course, all 18 holes are safe.
Yeah, because there was a point in time where they were going to try to convert that into something else. Like, because that's right yeah. down the street from Paint Branch, for those who don't know.
Right.
And I think it was like student housing and this and other kind of things. Like, wait a minute. Wait, what? Like, no, these places are like staples in the community. You know what I mean? Anybody who yeah. plays muni golf in Prince George's County knows Paint Branch is a great place to start and to bring your family, bring your kids, hone in your iron game. And it's a place where you know people, much like Langston in DC. I mean, it's
sure.
you know people from the community when you go there. And people go there not just, I mean, they go to play. I was just, like I said, well, I was there 2 days ago, and there were three or four senior ladies who were there, and they were swinging a little bit, but they were just kind of sitting out, enjoying the weather, talking to people. It's where yeah. people go to do things, you know?
Yeah. So it sounds like all that pushback from the communities and now all the investment going into Paint Branch. Paint Branch, I mean, knock on wood, Paint Branch seems to be safe. Mm-hmm. University of Maryland's golf course, I don't know. I get the sense that, you know, they're going to have to fight to keep all 18 every few years, like mm-hmm. for eternity. Like, mm-hmm. you know, someone, mm-hmm. you know, someone's going to make a new proposal every 5-10 years that, well, this land could be used better for this. And it's always going to be a fight.
And it's crazy because every time I go to University of Maryland, like Manny just played his PGA Junior League at University of Maryland this past spring season. And it's always packed. There's always people there. And every time I play it, I always ask myself, how come I don't play this course more? And so, I mean, it could be a situation where it's like, yeah, it's making money, but we can make more money doing this.
Right.
And, you know, we'll see if greed wins out or if golf wins. I mean, it'll be yeah. interesting to see. I don't know.
So let me ask you this. So your golf DMV crew, I know you've got a larger crew that you guys play regular golf with, and you've got your text threads like so many different golf groups.
Sure.
You know what? I want to, here's what I want to, when somebody says they got a tee time at blank golf course in the region, are you moving heaven and earth to make sure you play? That's part A, and then part B is they present this golf course and you make zero effort to move that work meeting.
Right. Well, you know what? It looks like it, a lot of it is course specific, right? Like, you know, which ones you like. And so, like, when I see it, again, I love, like, Maryland. So my favorite course in the DMV public course is PB Dye. I love PB Dye. And again, PB Dye was wonderful. And then it went through a stretch for a few years where it just wasn't up to par. You know what I mean? But it's in Iamsville, Maryland. I did listen to that episode you had with the superintendent. Iamsville. And see, so was it,
I'm learning that right now. I did not know that.
So it is Iamsville. PB Dye is probably my number one. Number two, I think for me is Musket Ridge. I'll do anything to play there. I love Maryland National. Bully Rock is always in my top five. I love Lake Presidential. The problem with some of the, like, I like Lake Presidential, but the thing is when you go there, just go there for the golf. Don't worry about customer service. Don't worry about whether the grill is open or it's open, but they're not serving food. Don't worry about it. If you're going to go for good golf, because it's a challenging course. If you're going to go for good golf, it's challenging. And also go early in spring or late in the fall. Lake Presidential, you know, is one of those. I love Blue Mash, Waverly Woods, always good. I love Little Bennett. I love Hampshire Green. Shout out to, you know, Montgomery County Municipal Courses. But those are the ones that I want to get out to, you know, to do anything. But I'm also a prisoner of the moment when it comes to golf. Like, usually the course that I like the most is the one that I played the last. I'm like, oh, I can't believe I don't play here more. How come I don't come out here much more? And it's just weird the way that my mind works when it comes to that.
Oh, that's fine. See, I'm kind of the opposite. Like, as far as that last beat, we're like the course I want to play the most is that course that I haven't played in a while. We're just like, choose whatever. Like Maryland National, I haven't played in right now. I haven't played in a very, very, very long time. And it's just like, so like you start, like if the memory starts to fade on some of the golf holes, I think I remember liking it. I can't remember, you know, I got to get out there and you really want to kind of see those again.
I should have mentioned Whiskey Creek too, but Alex, for you, if you had to put a top five together, which would be your top five public courses in the DMV?
Yeah, it's certainly tough. You know, you certainly mentioned some. I mean, the ones up in Frederick, and I think it's ever changing, and there's different factors that you like or don't like. Like, for instance, you just said Lake Presidential. I think Lake Presidential is a terrific layout. Mm-hmm. Layout. However, it might be a golf course that if someone says, hey, let's go play Lake Presidential, I might say I'm busy. And the reason is bad experiences with customer service, bad experiences with slow play, bad experiences recently. They just had so many different changes in management, and the course went through a sale. Like I had, early on in the Beltway Golfer podcast, I did a podcast out there with the management, and the management was really had the course going in the right direction. And then the course was sold, and two of the three guys that had the podcast got fired, and the third one left. And so all of a sudden they're starting from scratch and they run into the same problems again. And so I've just had enough bad experiences there that, you know, I'll still try to play there once a year, once every couple of years, because I think the course is great, but it's like any business. Like if you have a bad, if you go to a restaurant and you might like the food, but you have enough bad experiences, you're like, but as far as top five, I mean, I don't know. Like I love playing East Potomac's Blue Course as much as anything. You know, is it one of top five? Is it one of my top five courses? I don't know. But it's one of my top five golf experiences. Or places where like, yes, I'll play anytime you want. But it's interesting. Like right now, like you just said, PB Dye, which I think is great. Like all those courses in that corridor, those five public golf courses up there, Worthington Manor, PB Dye, Whiskey Creek, Maryland National, and Musket Ridge. I mean, if somebody said those are my five favorite courses around the area, you'd be like, okay,
can't disagree with it.
But they all have kind of different personalities. PB Dye, I just did that podcast out of PB Dye with Chris Navin, who was great. I went back out to PB Dye. You know, I played it once already this spring. I went back out there for the local qualifying for the U.S. Open.
Yeah.
And just kind of hung out there for much of the day. I stayed until the playoff at the end, you know, started with chatting with people. What I love about PB Dye, Worthington Manor is a little bit like this as well. I'm not sure I get this vibe from Whiskey Creek.
Okay.
PB Dye feels like that local business that's family run. That's like the staff loves working there. They're all sure. friends.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like a cool place. It feels very mom and it feels mom and pop.
Sure.
It feels like it's just you get a good feeling when you're there, regardless of take away the golf course, just like mm-hmm. being around the clubhouse.
For sure.
And I love that. I absolutely yep. love that. And the course is great too. But I don't know. I mean, I love playing Westfields. You know, okay. some of them. I mean, I don't. The top five I think are probably similar to everybody else's top five. But what I get pumped about is where you can find the deals or like
sure.
you know what's a course you like that you know you can actually find a tee time on a Saturday and doesn't sure. break the bank, but you actually like for me. That go-to one right now, and granted, I'm in Virginia. I'm in Arlington, not that far from 95 South, but is a muni in Prince William County called Forest Greens,
which sure.
is the same exit going down 95 as Quantico. It's right on the other side of the highway, and it's one of those ones where the course, you know, is the course going to be in any top 10 list? No, mm-hmm. but there's no houses. There is a lot of there's not a lot, but there's some elevation change. There's some interesting holes, you know, the rough and stuff around the holes can get a little overgrown. But they usually have a grass driving range. Again, there's no houses on the course. The staff, the one thing you get every single time at Forest Greens is a starter who has some like ridiculous joke or story,
yeah.
you know, like it's just like, you know, last time I actually went there 2 weeks ago. I coach my kids' baseball team and me and my assistant coach almost like, let's go out and play golf so we can like talk some strategy and we're still sure. getting to know each other a little bit. And he gets there first and he goes, hey, text me, hey, Alex, they don't have our tee time. And I was like, oh man. It was one of those ones where I pulled up the tee time on the computer, like went through all the steps, but forgot mm-hmm. to hit purchase or something. and I thought I booked it anyway. It was a busy Friday morning and they worked it out, got us in and it was no problem. Like it's another place that's good vibes. You know, it doesn't break the bank and it's usually not on people's radar. I don't know if it's because not on Golf Now or whatever, but you can usually find a tee time out there. So that's, you know, is it one of my top five best golf courses? Probably not, but it's, you know, that's a place I'm always looking at.
Yeah. And by the way, I love that approach. It's like some of the top places that people may not be on a lot of people's radar. When it comes to golf trips, we have a gym here. It's not in the DMV, but it's not that far. And you probably feel the same way. Williamsburg, Virginia is a sneaky good golf getaway because there's some great courses in Williamsburg, Virginia. You know, I know it's not, you know, Orlando or Tampa, or you're not going to Pebble or, you know, Torrey Pines, and we're going to Wisconsin, not Pinehurst, but it's some really good golf in Williamsburg, Virginia. And I know you spend some time down there. I like to try to go to Williamsburg at least once or twice a year, not even for golf, like just to kind of go with the family.
Yeah, Williamsburg is great. It's not that far. There's still a bunch of courses down there I haven't played.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because there's all those different resorts.
I haven't played Williamsburg
National. I haven't played Ford's Colony. I know they got 36 there.
Yep.
There's one or two there. Kiskiak
is one that's down
Kiskiak's
there.
Kiskiak's great. I played Kiskiak. That's a fun course that you usually get on for cheap, and that's an interesting, cool course. Royal New Kent's really obviously that's Strands. That's well known. That's a great course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's the one? Club of Vinatera. Club of Vinatera is one that people kind of sleep on. That's a great golf course.
Yeah.
Great golf course. And then you've got like your Golden Horseshoes and your Kings Mills. Right,
correct.
But yeah, man, there's killer golf down there. People sleep on it.
Williamsburg, Virginia, man. Head on down there, guys, this summer. And the cool thing about it, if you want to do a guys or girls golf trip and you want to bring the family, especially if you're from the DMV, do it at Williamsburg. They've got the theme parks down there. They got all the historic stuff. They got the outlets. The family can do things while you're out playing golf. And then, you hook up for afternoon activities and dinner and stuff. And everybody's happy. Everyone's happy at that point.
Sure. So one of the, you touched on this earlier on. This is less about golf, but you're in the, you're a media professional. You're a production professional, audio, video. You kind of do it all. I think people might be interested to hear a little bit, because without following you on Instagram or social media, whatever, sure. I mean, you seem to be kind of have a hand in everything. I mean, you for a while, you go ahead. I mean, tell us a little bit of everything that you do outside of the Golf DMV podcast.
Oh, sure. Look, so like you said, you know, I work in media. I've been working in media since, right out of high school. I'm involved in, a lot of the major sports teams here in the DMV. For years I did some studio producing for the Washington Commanders radio network. Now I produce the post-game show with Fred Smoot and Scott Jackson on location, wherever that happens to be for the post-game. DC United, I'm in the rotation there for on-site engineering. Washington Spirit, ESPN 630 just decided to pick that up. And so Tim Parker, my guy, and I, we, do that for them. Also, Washington Wizards do the same thing, some studio engineering for those guys. But also, there are other stations that don't do that. I mean, as far as sports, I mean, WGTS 91.9, I do that. Also have my own company, Hope Line Media, where, we do marketing and media solutions for companies. But started at Washington Post Radio. We're owned by, at the time, Bonneville, but now it's called Hubbard, the same station that owns WTOP and Federal News Network. That's why I got caught up in the whole Tony Kornheiser world, where I was, filling in for Nigel. Anytime that he was out, I would fill in for the Kornheiser show and stuck around with those guys anytime that they needed somebody to. And matter of fact, we met, I think, when Tony Kornheiser, Coach Gary Williams, Alan Bubis, and Maury Povich opened up Chatter in Northwest D.C. off Wisconsin Avenue. They had a podcast studio in it, so I was one of the engineers there. And you and I met at a National League Trust, I think, recording or something like that. Or maybe, the Friday.
The Fried Egg did one at Chatter where they interviewed some of the guys from National Links Trust, and National Links Trust, had kind of, that was like early days of NLT.
Yeah.
Had some people out, and then I came, you guys did Golf DMV from that same studio. Correct. That was really cool. I mean, that only lasted a couple of years. Like, I grew up going to, it was originally a Chadwick's.
Yes.
Which is right on Wisconsin Avenue, kind of in Northwest DC, close to the Maryland border. And, back when I was like, 20, 21, 22, I was late 90s, around the, 2000. I was in the restaurant industry in Bethesda. I was a bartender there and stuff like that.
Nice.
And you'd always, at last call, Chadwick's was the spot. And there was one or two other places, but Chadwick's was the spot that you'd basically race over the line because last call was open for an extra hour.
There you go.
You'd always go to Chadwick's, and it was the whole scene was kind of a mess. But when Tony Kornheiser and Gary Williams and Maury Povich and it was Alan Bubis, when they purchased it, I mean, I wish that place lasted longer, because when they set up that podcast studio right there, which I know you were doing your show there for a while, because I came on as a guest on your show one time there, that place was cool, man.
It was amazing. Great. It was amazing to have that restaurant. And the thing is, the podcast studio was right at the bar area. And so, you open up the window and we'd have the speaker going out to the bar so we can hear the podcast that's being recorded. It was fun. It was good. You're right. I wish it would have lasted longer as well.
I got to tell one anecdote. So there was one time. So I used to listen to the Kornheiser podcast a lot more than I do now, only because I used to commute more often. But so there was one time he had Maury Povich on, who was in town, and he was a co-owner of Chatter. And I was listening to it. And the first part of it is Tony presses Maury Povich about, he's like, hey Maury, why don't you tell, I think the listeners would be interested in you sharing how many country clubs you belong to and in how many states. And Maury Povich was like, well, I don't think people really need to hear that. They're not interested. And Tony's like, yes, they do. Share. And he goes, okay. And Maury Povich said, he's like, well, I'm a member at 7 different country clubs in 5 different states, and rattles them off. And you're just like, oh my goodness. Right. And you're just like, okay.
And it's tons of great Maury stories, cause one of the things Maury's famous for is on his show where they would do the paternity test, you are not the father.
Are still memes that go around. Yeah.
Right. They would have these days where, Tony would be there, Gary would be there, Maury would be there, and they're guest bartending, bring people in and stuff like that. And one time, Maury's in the back. He's just in the kitchen and stuff. And people are like, you should come out here and talk. He's like, no, nah, you know, those famous people aren't my people. I'm with the kitchen staff. We're back here having a good time. And apparently, Maury's a really good golfer, like a really good golfer.
Yeah. He's on the wall at Woodmont. I was at Woodmont for the sectional qualifying the other day, and I went into the locker room, and he's got a picture of him on the wall. I'm not sure if it was because he had a hole in one. I don't know what it was for, but.
And I've got a chance to work with Tony, obviously, and I got a chance to work with Gary Williams on the DC Basketball Coaches podcast, and Alan Bubis and I would talk a lot at Chatter when I was there and stuff like that. But I never got a chance to sit down and talk to Maury. And I wish I had more of an opportunity to do that, but I never got a chance to talk to Maury.
Well, so the second part of my anecdote was, so that day I listened to that podcast, Tony trying to promote Chatter says, mm-hmm. well, Maury's in town. He's going to guest bartend that night. And his wife, Connie Chung,
yep.
Mm-hmm. was going to also guest bartender or at some capacity. So I call a buddy up and I decided to meet him up there for a drink. And it was like, it was thunderstorms that there was like crazy weather that day. And so they didn't get a very big crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Long story short, like, so we get there and we're sitting at the bar and there weren't that many people in there. It was great. And, you know, Maury's guest bartending behind the bar, Gary Williams is just in there, you know, just having a cocktail. Yeah, and so I chatted mm-hmm. with him for a while, but Connie's waiting tables. And I hadn't seen or thought of Connie Chung since she was, you know, on the evening news when I was a kid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she was having fun. She was a few drinks. She was having a few drinks.
Mm-hmm.
And she's delightful to be around. Telling
yeah.
some hilarious stories, probably mm-hmm. out of class to me and my buddy. And I immediately became a big Connie Chung fan.
Oh, yeah. No, she's delightful to be with. So, yeah, I mean, so that's the whole thing. And, you know, I do all that kind of stuff. I work U.S. Open radio for the U.S. Open tennis broadcast and things like that. And that's always fun to go to New York for a couple weeks and do that stuff. And so, yeah, but you said, I mean, I keep my hands in a lot of different buckets because, I mean, in media, you have to do that in order to stay gainfully employed or to make sure that there's revenue coming in because it is a volatile industry.
I mean, it seems like quite a hustle. I mean, is this kind of thing where, like, you've got your own company, but, you know, freelance to some degree where somebody's in a jam and they need an engineer, they need some production help, and they call you and say, hey, we need you at the DC United or we need this.
Correct.
Like, you're not working all the games for any of these teams, or do I have that?
No. I'm not. There's not. Outside of the Commanders, I work every single post game show for those guys, but I also have a team through my company. And so essentially, like, if someone says, hey, we need you, you know, next season for post game for the Commanders. Perfect. I got you covered. I also have two guys who engineer with me as well. It will be myself. And if I need a backup, I've got my guys already. And everyone's like, okay, that's fine. Because as long as they know you can do the job or your team can do the job, you know, you're good to go. And so, yeah, it's always fun. And like you said, I mean, I don't cover all the games. So I don't cover all Wizards games. I don't cover all DC United games. I don't cover all Washington Spirits games. I do all the Commanders post game stuff, but outside of that, yeah, it's when needed. And I just try to schedule it and keep the schedule clear to make sure that I got plenty of time for family and even more time for golf, essentially.
the funny thing about I mean, shame on me. I've been meaning to, but I have not been to a Washington Spirit game yet. But I did get a buddy of mine was at a game who's kind of involved with the team last year during their playoff run.
Nice.
Where Dennis Rodman showed up because his daughter Trinity's mm-hmm. on the team.
Trinity plays.
And is a star. And he sent me some pictures because Dennis kind of made a scene. I think
he
did not show up sober.
Yeah. He cannot not make a scene. Dennis Rodman is always going to make a scene wherever he goes.
That's right. I know we don't have too much time left here, but I do want to also give you guys at Golf DMV credit. You guys, and I don't know if it's just LB, but you or all of you guys, but you seem to be traveling to a lot of women's golf tournaments over the last year or two.
Yeah. So we love the LPGA. And let me tell you this, I was the first one on the LPGA. Now, Lawrence goes and covers a lot of the tournaments for us, but I was the first one on it. And I've convinced these guys that, listen, the ladies on tour, man, are amazing. And anyone, and I believe you and I were at Congressional 2 years ago for KPMG. I saw you behind the ropes. We were at the driving range.
Yep.
I mean, the way that they allow media access and, I mean, the golf that's played on the LPGA is just superb. These women are really, really, really good. And I mean, they allow, you know, like I said, behind the ropes access, come talk to the players. And I love the LPGA. Like when I was growing up, again, I wasn't playing golf at this time, but I was aware of all things sports because I love sports. And I remember watching Tiger and just thinking, wow, this dominance is crazy. I wonder if there's anybody who plays golf on the women's side who's this good. And I was introduced to Annika Sorenstam. And she became, like honestly, she's probably my favorite golfer of all time. I mean, I love Annika. Her dominance to me was like amazing. And you know, and so that's when I first fell in love with the LPGA. But everybody from obviously Nelly Korda, you know, Lydia Ko, it's going to be sad to see Lexi Thompson go, but I'm happy for her. I mean, this is what she wants to do. You know, she's got to go do what she's got to do for herself. But I love the LPGA and I love covering the LPGA. Matter of fact, we talked about Williamsburg. They're in Williamsburg every year at Kings Mill. Or at least it's been every year. I'm not sure if they're going back this year, but yeah, I love the LPGA and we cover it and we talk about, you know, those players. And even when it comes to women's golf that, you know, local, we have Bailey Davis has been on our show. She finished second at the U.S. Women's Amateur when it was at, Columbia Country Club,
the U.S. Girls Junior,
U.S. Yeah, Girls yeah. Juniors. Yeah. And
she ran into the Rojang buzzsaw in the final.
She finished second. And I think she was going into the final round as the leader or something like that. And you know, Rojang is just who Rose is. But Bailey's at the University of Tennessee heading to her second season. So we always love to catch up with her. I did an interview with Renee Parsons. Her husband, Bob Parsons, runs, you know, PXG. And we had a chance to sit down and talk to her. I want to talk to her about the stuff she was doing fashion-wise in the women's game because two things. Number one, the stuff that they make for women is top quality when it comes to golf fashion. But then number two, their investment in women in the game, not just on tour, but women instructors, social media influencers, PXG really believes in the game. And I'm not sponsored by PXG to say this, by the way. Now, if they want to, feel free to reach out. But, you know, to sit down and talk to Renee about that whole thing and the full investment they made into the women's game was amazing. And so, yeah, now I'm a huge proponent of, now, by the way, it's not even a fake thing. Like, I'll be honest with you. I watched maybe 13 minutes of the U.S. Women's Open. Like, but I'm cool with being honest about it because I support women I support women in golf all the time. Sure. But I didn't watch a lot of the Open. I was busy that weekend, you know?
Sure. That happens. I'm into it. I don't watch, it sounds like nearly as much as you, but I'm trying to watch more. That being said, couldn't be more excited for the Solheim to come to the area this fall. Yeah. So I'm going to try to be there as much as I can all week. I don't know what the logistics yet are for media and all that, but I'm going to figure it out.
And by the way, Alex, if I could hold you one more second, this is where a lot of those local munis come into play too. I can't tell you whether I'm at Paint Branch, Enterprise, Hampshire Greens, Northwest, Needwood. There are so many little girls playing golf, and I love it. And, I mean, just yesterday, Manny, myself, and my wife, Sierra, were out at Northwest playing a quick nine on their inside nine. And the lady in front of us, she was out there with her daughter, just a twosome, and she's out there having fun. She's running around, skipping, hitting her ball, and she was good. And so it's just so good to see, like, ladies and introducing the game to and dads introducing the game to the young girls, and they're out there and they're playing and they're having a good time. There were some young ladies on Manny's University of Maryland PGA Junior League team, and these girls can play. They can play, and I love it. I'm here for it.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of articles and stuff on the internet and data that's showing that that is the biggest kind of growth market or growth opportunity and the biggest kind of jump in golfers since COVID is women golfers. There's another outfit. I haven't really connected with them at all, but I follow them on social media and they seem to be extremely active. Do you follow the City Girls Golf?
Yeah. City Girls Golf.
I don't know much about them. Maybe you do, but they seem to be kind of everywhere all of a sudden.
Oh my gosh. They have an Atlanta chapter. They have a DC chapter. I think they have other chapters, but a buddy of ours in our whole little group, Lou, his wife had reached out and said, and was through Lou to say, hey, Claude, do you know any like women's, you know, golf leagues or golf groups where I can get in? I'm just starting and beginning. And I said, yeah, check out City Girls Golf. And she went to an event they had, I believe at East Potomac, or maybe it was at Oak Creek. They went to Oak Creek and she was like, oh, this is amazing. I'm connected. I'm linked in. I'm locked in with these girls. And yeah, City Girls Golf. Yeah, they've been amazing. Pink on the Greens. They're amazing. Yeah, it's just okay. I mean, there's so many out there. Like
there's
that.
A lot. There's
and
a
Alex,
lot.
Yeah, on Surrender and Birdies, man, get some of these ladies on, man. Talk to City Girls Golf, somebody from there, and Pink on the Greens, and all those ladies, man. It's growing, and it's wonderful to see. Because as much as I love you, Alex, it would be great to have a group out there, some ladies, you know, just have a good time and talk to somebody else other than these guys out here.
Absolutely. I honestly need to do a better job of that. But listen, I feel like we could easily talk for another hour. I got a couple other things that I wanted to talk about. We're gonna have to save that for next time. I know you got a busy day. I got a busy day. We're at an hour. This was a lot of fun.
Look, invite me back, and I promise I will. And anything else you want to talk about? You know, I was expecting, you know, like I said, a lot, you know, as far as different courses and all the other kind of stuff. But I love the direction that this took. I mean, we talk a lot about junior golf, women's golf, and I love it, man. And so it's all about, you know, making the tent as wide as we can make it. And Alex, you do such a great job about it because, I mean, again, I listen to your shows and you've been able to play at some really nice places. But you love Muni Golf. You love the D.C. courses. You love growing the game. And I just love the humility and just the passion just for golf itself that you bring to the media space. And so keep doing what you're doing. I listen to every show. I'm a huge fan. And so thank you for everything that you do.
I appreciate you saying that. You guys showed me the way, man. We were doing the podcast for a while before I even ever got the idea. So credit to you guys, and congratulations on hundreds, over 300 plus. I mean, it's wild. I'm not even at 100 yet.
Why people listen? I don't know. I can't tell you why they listen to us, but they do. And so, you know, it is what it is.
I love it. All right, Claude, enjoy your day. I really enjoyed it, and we'll have you back on soon.
Appreciate it, Alex. Thank you.